1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump gets his nominee for defense secretary. After a tie in the Senate on Pete Hegseth's nomination, Vice President J.D. Vance stepped in.
On this vote, the yeas are 50 and the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative and the nomination is confirmed.
Earlier during voting,
Mr. McConnell, no.
CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns also reports.
The controversy surrounding Hegseth, including past statements about women in the military, caused two Republican senators to oppose his confirmation. Senator Susan Collins of Maine and Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who said Hegseth's past behaviors demonstrate a lack of judgment that's unbecoming of someone who would lead our armed forces.
GOP Senator Tom Tillis, who appeared to be undecided, spoke to Hegseth today and ended up voting yes. President Trump travels cross-country to visit two disaster zones. He started in western North Carolina, which is still reeling, from Hurricane Helene in September. Then he traveled to Southern California to see the devastation from the deadly wildfires. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti in L.A.
As Air Force One touched down in Los Angeles, fires were still smoldering throughout Southern California, as they have been now for 18 days.
I don't understand what's happening. We can't get a break.
One of the worst weather disasters in U.S. history has left behind overwhelming devastation, at least $250 billion in damage. President Trump met with firefighters and residents here in Pacific Palisades and saw the rubble firsthand.
Another round of hostages is set to be released by Hamas over the weekend as part of the ceasefire deal with Israel. In return, scores of Palestinians held by Israel will be freed. CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinegar.
The ceasefire and hostage release deal went into effect last Sunday. So far, it has held. An initial tranche of three females were released. Aid has started to flow into Gaza. Israel has started to withdraw from populated areas. Gazans have been allowed to return home.
The Trump administration says it has started to fly immigrants who entered the U.S. illegally out of the country using military planes. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
We're getting the bad, hard criminals out.
The White House calls it the official start of their long-promised mass deportation campaign. Posting video of Marines operating at the southern border. This week, the Pentagon announced the deployment of 1,500 service members to assist U.S. Border Patrol.
This comes as Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials carried out a raid in Newark, New Jersey today. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Bucks turned down the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Miami Heat by nearly 30 points, 129-96. Miami suspending former Marquette star Jimmy Butler for missing the team flight to Milwaukee. Butler in a contract dispute with the Heat. Doc Rivers asked if he was surprised about the situation.
No, I don't know if I'm surprised or not. I just hope they find a way through it. I've been through these things before. You know, I was in Philly with Ben Simmons and all that. It's no fun for anyone.
NFL, two players from Wisconsin, among those to be named NFL Defensive Player of the Year, the Steelers' T.J. Watt from Pewaukee, and Eagles linebacker Zach Bond from Brown Deer.
That's really cool, really special. Honestly, not even on the spectrum of a goal of mine. I really just try to be the best player I can be and try to maximize my potential and my ability. It's a lot of credit to the guys up front and the guys on this team for aiding in my success.
That's Zach Bond. The Eagles host the Commanders Sunday at 2 for the NFC title. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Really good actors are supposed to be fearless. Leonardo DiCaprio is typically one of them. That was not the case, though, on the set of Django Unchained. During a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Jamie Foxx recalled DiCaprio, who played a ruthless slave owner, had trouble saying words that were racial slurs, even though he was in character. According to Foxx, Samuel Jackson put DiCaprio at ease, saying, like only Samuel Jackson can, "You can say that, mother." DiCaprio got the point. If you've got $150 million burning a hole in your pocket, consider purchasing Tom Brady's house. The amazing quarterback and mediocre commentator is selling his mansion in Miami. Don't worry, renovations are done, and they must have been doozies, because he purchased the home in 2024 for $17 million smackers. Not many people pocket $133 mil on a sale. Anyone interested in pretending to be filthy rich and taking a tour? I'm in. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the upper 20s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing well into the 30s. Currently, we're at 15.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend happenings in terms of news and offer you another look at what's worse, your opportunity to call in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
What's
freedom,
up, everybody? It's almost Friday. Phew. When was this week ever going to end? It just seems like it keeps going and an infinite amount of stupid things, right? And I mean stupid things coming from our president. Folks, you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. You can find me and Cardi behind the board here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. If you're more of a visual learner, please do not hesitate to check out Civic Media's YouTube channel, where you can watch me and the entire lineup of Civic Media's talk hosts from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Civic Media's YouTube channel. You can also watch me at Maggie Dawn Show on the Gram, on the Book of Faces, and on the Twitter. I'm calling it Twitter because I'm not a Musk fan. Things are far too musky. You know what I'm saying? And not in a good way. We got a jam-packed show for everybody. You're going to want to keep it locked here for all of the 2 hours. We've got Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joining us at 2:30 to talk about Governor Evers' State of the State address yesterday, but maybe to talk a little bit more about the nonsense that Robin Voss spewed following that. I mean, I don't know. I challenge everybody out there listening. Does anybody really like Robin Voss? I don't know. It doesn't.
Ew.
Yeah, not really. Even conservatives don't like Robin Voss. Donald Trump doesn't like Robin Voss. Michael Gableman even hates Robin Voss. The list goes on and on. So we got the lieutenant governor and this afternoon. Let's see. I got to refer to my show notes. I'm so excited. We've also got assistant adjunct professor Pat Sobkowski from Marquette's Poli Sci Department, Marquette University's Poli Sci Department, to talk to us about what is birthright citizenship, where did it come from, how does it operate, can Donald Trump wave his magic wand or his big old Sharpie pen, you know, and not only change what the actual path of hurricanes are, but, you know, wipe away entire provisions of the Constitution in one fell pen swoop. So we got Professor Sobkowski here. He's going to be here at 3 p.m., and I am going to springboard off of that conversation because this was some big news this week. At 3:30, I'm going to be discussing Donald Trump's threat to throw into jail local law enforcement officers for basically following the 10th Amendment. Okay? It is pretty insane. And listen, folks, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I'm the former general counsel or chief legal officer for Milwaukee County. I was around doing that job back in Trump 1.0 during that first administration. He tried to pull a similar stunt like this back then. And yours truly, right here, shut him down, shut his Department of Justice down. So I have all the goodies on that and this most current threat. I'm going to break all that down for you. We're going to drop some links in the show notes so you can see my prior work on this issue if you're a super nerd and you want to check it out. So we're going to have all of that. I was going to tackle that top of the show, but because we've got the lieutenant governor coming on, I'm moving it to 3:30. So that is our lineup for today. Let me jump in. Yesterday, I spent an hour with each and every one of you talking about the fact that Donald Trump's flurry of performative political, frankly, I don't know, marketing blitz since January 20th is all huff and puff. It is no substance. There is nothing happening. There's no executive order that's actually articulating a specific plan to help the middle class. Most importantly, about freaking housing prices. We talked about it for an hour, and one of our incredible listeners, Kimber from Muskoda, texted me yesterday, hey, Kimber, thank you for that, and said, hey, Maggie, I thought I read an executive order that had something to do with housing prices. And I said, listen, I'm always happy to get fact-checked live on the air by my listeners, and I will follow up when I get things wrong. I'll apologize, try to get it right the next day. So I took that little homework assignment from Kimber in Muskoda, and I went and I checked it out. And here's what I found. It wasn't an executive order. It was what is called an executive memorandum, which is basically nothing. So there's executive memorandum. That's one thing. There are presidential directives. There are executive orders. And then there's like presidential proclamations. People get these things confused all the time, and they have different substantive and legal consequences and merit to them. So I'll get to what Donald Trump actually said about housing in a moment because it's dumb and won't help, especially given the problems that I outlined yesterday. But I thought I would start us all by just a level set. So executive orders do have putative legal authority, or they purport to be effectively legally binding. Executive orders typically have to be executing things that are clearly an executive branch power, a presidential power. They typically cannot be contrary to enacted legislation. And they typically exist in this, well, there's a set of laws in the Constitution. How? It's about the how of the executive branch executing faithfully the laws of this nation. Because there's a lot of gap in there. It shouldn't, in general, change regulations that have gone through the notice and comment period and have been duly enacted as a question of administrative law. But sometimes they do. But to think of it this way, executive orders about the how the laws that we already have in the Constitution are effectuated or executed, again, by the, quote, executive branch of government. Executive memoranda look like executive orders, but they don't cite any legal authority for what they say. They're not really binding. They don't get published in the Federal Register. In other words, they're a bunch of huff and puff. All sound and fury signifying nothing, okay? Now, the most potent of all, and presidential, not directives, presidential proclamations are things like, I declare it Carty Day because Carty is an amazing producer. That's a presidential proclamation. They're useless too. Okay. So this was an executive memorandum, which means all sound and fury signifying nothing. And you can tell that when you go read the thing. So again, thank you, Kimber. Folks, if you have questions or comments or you want to fact check me, I love that. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to get to what was actually in this executive memorandum in just a moment, but I got to tease what we're going to newly roll out tomorrow. We're calling this segment the Cardi and Callers Ask Maggie. And we're going to start doing this every Friday at 3 o'clock. Okay. And here's the deal. You can text me questions. Just tell me when you text in on the text line. Hey, Maggie, this is a question for Cardi and the callers. Ask Maggie questions, which we will do every Friday at 3 o'clock. So you can text us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Just note that, hey, this you can call in during that period of time on Fridays. And we've set up a special email for you so that you can email me your questions. We're going to try to get to at least 5 questions every week. And here's the catch. I only have 90 seconds to answer. Yeah, because y'all know I like to talk. I mean, so we gotta put it, consider it Maggie Dawn like bumper bowling, right? We got to put some limits on me because otherwise, you know, I'll go off. So I get 90 seconds to answer your questions. Try to keep them topical or, hey, just I don't get this, but it can be about the current events of the week. We ask the questions to be in good faith, trying to make us all smarter, doing it together, things that engender good and meaningful conversation. Maybe it'll highlight, if I don't have enough time, a great topic for me to cover the next week and to do a deeper dive. This is a direct way for you to impact what I talk about, not just for those 90 seconds, but potentially content for that next week. So I invite you all to participate. Again, that's going to be every Friday at 3 o'clock. And here's that email address. Get your pens and paper ready. We're also going to put it in the show notes for today. Here's that email address. AskMaggie@civicmedia.us. I know it's really creative. AskMaggie@civicmedia.us. You can remember that. You'll be able to participate this way every Friday directly. But of course, as you all know, if you've been regular listeners, I do my absolute damnedest every day to hit and acknowledge the text messages that are coming in, including criticisms, including our conservative friends that I love to engage with on this show. So you can always do that every day during the show. The call, the phone, and text line, again, is 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. So let's get into what Donald Trump had to say in this executive memorandum. Anytime you hear that, be like, it is meaningless. And when you read it, it is meaningless. I'm going to skip all of the like Biden slamming because most of it is just Biden slamming. It's like, oh, you're not doing anything. You're just slamming the guy that you beat in an election that's not president anymore. I don't know how that helps the middle class, Cardi. I don't know how him talking more trash about Joe Biden helps anybody.
Hey, that's Trump. That's what he does.
Right? And, of course, we got bird flu. Price of eggs keeps going up. I think we're, like, up 37% year over year. I thought he was going to take care...
$90 for eggs now.
Yeah, like $4.50 if you can get them. I thought he was going to fix all this stuff on day one. I also thought the Ukraine war was going to end on day one. Weird. We somehow missed that deadline. Funny. I am going to read to you the handful of words in this executive memorandum that actually address housing, and the thing will speak for itself. In other words, I will read you the words. We can probably count them all together, and then we can decide together whether or not Donald Trump is actually going to do anything about housing. By the way, there's a little Latin phrase in the law that says the thing speaks for itself. In other words, it needs no explanation. It's res ipsa loquitur. Donald Trump's do-nothingness on housing is res ipsa loquitur, and it's going to hurt our families, your family, and people in Wisconsin in a very real way. All of his broken promises to the middle class. We're going to discuss that next. Don't go anywhere. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah.
Try every day to bring you real news and engage us all in a great conversation about that real news of the day. My thanks to Pat Subkowski, an assistant adjunct professor in the political science department at Marquette University, talking about birthright citizenship. That's already been enjoined by a federal judge. Took what, a day? So if you recall, last hour, I ended the hour by explaining to people what performative politics is. And it is very easy to say that Donald Trump is almost all performative politics, meaning the exercise of power or influence in a way that actually causes harm to your key constituencies or gets, you're just out there sort of puffing yourself up and it has no meaning or purpose. Yeah, I would argue the executive order about birthright citizenship is exactly that. Any lawyer would tell you, sir, this will never survive any level of review by any court that operates in good faith. It literally is a 0% chance because presidents can't, you know, wipe away portions of the Constitution that they don't like. That's not the way democracies work. But I got a great question from my friend Todd texting in on the WMDX line. Todd asked me, hey, Maggie, can you talk to me more when you talk about performative politics about the difference between like the theater of politics and the rhetoric of politics and these two definitions of performative politics that you use? I sure can, Billy, and thank you for the question. Reminder, before I get to responding to Todd Billy's question, if you have questions for me and you'd like me to answer them in 90 seconds or less, we're going to do a segment or two like that on Fridays. You're going to definitely want to check that out. If you want to submit a question ahead of time, you can always text it to 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or you can email me at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. We're going to do that segment every Friday at 3 p.m. It is Cardi and the Callers Ask Maggie Questions. I only have 90 seconds, so hopefully I'll eventually shut my yap and we can get lots of questions in. So to Todd Billy's question, I do not mean to impugn the rhetoric that is engaged by politicians, you know, not Donald Trump, not the like vile hate speech, but simply the theater of politics. That's not what I'm talking about. All of politics has an element of performance to it. When I say performative politics and I deride it, I criticize it, I'm talking about just those two specific types. Puffery and ego-driven, let me get a headline and the thing I'm doing will have absolutely no meaning, impact, or import. That's definition one. Definition two is, I am going to do something because I can, because I have power and leverage, and it's actually going to either hurt people or get nothing done, but I get to flex. Right? That's what I mean. That is Donald Trump to a T every single day. So I want to turn, I'm going to take a caller, and if you've got questions about this, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. 2 days ago, the Department of Justice sent a memorandum out, and it informed, this was on January 21st, 2 days ago, told all the DOJ offices, all the assistant U.S. all the U.S. attorney offices, hey, we're going to actually start criminally prosecuting your local police officers, your sheriff's department employees, if they do not agree to violate the 10th Amendment and use our dwindling public safety resources to help ICE and the federal government do their job. Now, even if you think we've got an immigration problem, this is not how you go about fixing it. Okay. And I'm going to explain all of this to you. I know a goodly bit about this because I was there in the trenches back in 2017 when Donald Trump tried to pull something similar to this. That Mark from Prairie du Sac, you had a question, sir.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if Brad Schimmel should be asked the question on what his opinion is on Donald Trump's executive order on this and get him on the record for saying whether he supports it or not, because that goes a long way in saying whether his judicial opinion is actually of substance or just performative, you know, performing like a little trained monkey for Donald Trump. And Trump is the organ grinder.
Yeah. My guess is, Mark, thanks for the question, that Schimmel would dodge the question because it's a no-win question, right? When Brad Schimmel, candidate for the Supreme Court, can't even say very clearly that Joe Biden won the 2020 election, he is, by definition, unfit to serve. Not just on the state Supreme Court, but my argument would be he's unfit to serve in the position that he holds now as a Waukesha County Circuit Court judge. Shame on you, sir. Because effectively, it's giving comfort and aid to enemies of the United States, meaning those who sought to overthrow our democracy back in 2021. That's just my hot take. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. We're going to come back and I'm going to dive into this new directive from the Trump administration to the U.S. Department of Justice and all U.S. attorneys' offices, threatening your local police, your local sheriff's department with up to life in prison. I kid you not, life in prison. If they do not agree to violate the 10th Amendment and violate the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment rights of residents here in the United States of America, we're going to discuss all of that and much more. We'll take more calls. My name is Maggie Nunn, your friendly lawyer lady, an economist that does a little political commentary every day from 2 to 4 p.m. all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can tune in southeastern Wisconsin at my radio station that I originate out of 540 a.m. WAUK, or on any of Civic Media's local talk radio network affiliates, as well as on the Civic Media app. You can watch me on YouTube, on Civic Media's YouTube channel, and of course on my ex Instagram and Facebook accounts at Maggie Nunn Show. Come and join the fun, y'all. The water's warm, even when it's cold outside. I take all comers, all callers, all commentators, including my friendly conservatives. I love chopping it up with you all. When we come back, again, we're going to dive into this new directive from the Trump Department of Justice threatening your local law enforcement agents. Can you imagine locking up your friendly cop that helps keep your neighborhood safe? Come on, man. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
CBS News Special Report. The Senate confirms Pete Hegseth as President Trump's defense secretary in a 51-50 vote. Vice President J.D. Vance broke the tie.
On this vote, the yeas are 50 and the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative and the nomination is confirmed.
Among the Republicans not supporting the combat veteran and former Fox News personality,
Mr. McConnell, no.
GOP Senator Susan Collins also voted no, and
Ms. Murkowski, no.
Murkowski said she was unable to support Hegseth's nomination, citing the numerous allegations, including heavy drinking and aggressive behavior toward women and his previous stance on women in combat. Collins said she was concerned Hegseth lacked the experience and perspective necessary to succeed in the job. During his confirmation hearing, Hegseth dismissed allegations of wrongdoing one by one. CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks turned down the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Miami Heat by nearly 30 points, 129-96. Miami suspending former Marquette star Jimmy Butler for missing the team flight to Milwaukee. Butler in a contract dispute with the Heat. Doc Rivers asked if he was surprised about the situation.
No, I don't know if I'm surprised or not. I just hope they find a way through it. I've been through these things before. You know, I was in Philly with Ben Simmons and all that. It's no fun for anyone.
NFL, two players from Wisconsin, among those to be named NFL Defensive Player of the Year, the Steelers' T.J. Watt from Pewaukee, and Eagles linebacker Zach Bond from Brown Deer.
That's really cool, really special. Honestly, not even on the spectrum of a goal of mine. I really just try to be the best player I can be and try to maximize my potential and my ability. It's a lot of credit to the guys up front and the guys on this team for aiding in my success.
That's Zach Bond. The Eagles host the Commanders Sunday at 2 for the NFC title with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're looking for a new hobby that requires almost absolutely no activity, consider herkle-derkling. It's a centuries-old Scottish tradition. Herkle-derkling translates to the art of lazing in bed. The practice encourages people to stay in their pajamas and not get up. Most of us consider this being lazy or depressed, but if you use the phrase herkle-derkle, it makes it sound more clinical. Still probably not an acceptable excuse for being late to work. Now, hotels are encouraging people to take a herkle-derkle stay. Yes, by all means, go spend a few $100 a night to stay in bed and not do anything. Money well spent. Amy Schumer says she might actually be canceled after admitting to hooking up with a fan. She talked about the experience on the Call Her Daddy podcast, saying that a professional baseball player who was a huge fan visited her for a rendezvous in her hotel room one night. She goes into more detail on the podcast. Let's just say they did more than herkle-derkle. Schumer's new comedy special, Kind of Pregnant, drops February 5th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight, and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the upper 20s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing well into the 30s. Right now it's 13.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I really love Mary J. Blige. That is true. I'll tell you who doesn't have real love for Pete Hegseth. Senator Lisa Murkowski just announcing everybody that after thorough evaluation, I must conclude that I cannot in good conscience support Pete Hegseth's nomination for Secretary of Defense. I did not make this decision lightly. I take my constitutional responsibility to provide advice and consent with the utmost seriousness. Too bad Pete Hegseth isn't a serious nominee for the Secretary of Defense. I'm pretty surprised by this, I have to say, because everybody had looked to Senator Joni Ernst as sort of the canary in the coal mine during his confirmation hearing, and she basically gave him a pass. So remember, the margins in the Senate are razor thin. So whether or not we're going to have an utterly unqualified, couldn't lead a tiny, either of two tiny little nonprofit organizations without driving them into bankruptcy and closure, likely alcoholic, womanizing, wife cheating, impregnating wife three while he was still married to wife two, credibly accused sexual assaulter Pete Hegseth as our next Secretary of Defense, maybe there will be another Republican of good conscience who thinks that our national security interests aren't served by such a nitwit running, you know, the entirety of the 3 million plus people and nearly $1 trillion in budget Defense Department. I don't know. I mean, do you really have to, like, take this responsibility deeply seriously, Senator Murkowski, to come to the conclusion that you should probably vote no on Pete? I don't know. Shouldn't be that hard. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here is what I want to talk about today. 2 days ago, the Trump Department of Justice sent a directive to all DOJ offices and all U.S. attorneys' offices. In this directive, what the Trump Justice Department, what Donald Trump is saying, is that federal prosecutors and federal law enforcement are being mandated to investigate and potentially bring criminal charges against state and local law enforcement officials. You know, your friendly cop that you see at the coffee shop that you know or that you see out on his beat, your sheriff that's helped you when you've gotten a flat tire or run out of gas. Yeah, he's talking about federally investigating and prosecuting the people that you rely on to keep your family safe in your neighborhoods if they don't cooperate with the federal government's mass deportation agenda. Now, I know a lot about this because he's not just trying to do that or is doing that, and I'm going to detail that for you, but he's also critical federal law enforcement funding grants to state and local law enforcement if they don't help the federal government do its job. Okay? Here is what he's threatened. There's a couple of U.S. code provisions that this involves. Here is what he's threatening your friendly local police officer, your sheriff's department with. Potentially criminal charges under 8 U.S.C. 1324 and 18 U.S.C. Section 371. Under Section 371, you can face up to 5 years in federal prison. It covers conspiracy to commit an offense against or defraud the United States. I'm going to talk to you about like why all of this stuff is stupid and would likely be struck down by a federal judge. But the very idea of threatening your local police officers and your local sheriff's deputies with this kind of nonsense is beyond me. 8 U.S.C. 1324 prohibits the harboring of people who are here illegally. And it describes that. Harboring has a very specific meaning under federal law. And the penalties under that provision are 5 years, 10 years, and up to life in prison. Mm-hmm. You know, we back the blue, but I'll threaten to put your blue in your neighborhood in prison for life if you don't help me execute my mass deportation plan. That is what Donald Trump has said to local law enforcement. Now, here is the thing. Do you remember this little thing when conservatives were all about like states' rights and the federal government cannot usurp the areas of the law that are that the Constitution reserves to states to decide? Federalism. Federalism meaning those powers not explicitly granted and confined to the federal government are in all cases presumed to be held by states. And in order to give life to that under the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, it means that the federal government cannot take the resources of state and local government for the purposes of enforcing federal law. This makes sense, right? Like we pay taxes to the federal government. We separately pay taxes in the form of income and property taxes and sales taxes to our state and local governments. If the federal government can effectively seize state and local law enforcement and be like, you are now responsible for enforcing U.S. federal immigration law, it's like stealing your tax dollars. You can't do that. The federal government cannot assume, co-opt, coerce, take over local government for the purposes of executing federal law. Nuh-uh. And not only are they threatening your local law enforcement agents, your cops and sheriffs, with imprisonment, not only is that a violation of the 10th Amendment, here's how it also will affect you as a taxpayer. So he's threatening the safety of your communities by doing this, by draining resources away from your local law enforcement to actually enforce state-based criminal statutes. But here's this. Immigration violations are civil infractions. They're not crimes. They're civil. So what Donald Trump is trying to, he's not only trying to force local law enforcement to do ICE's job for them, to do the job of Homeland Security for them. And I can set aside for the purposes of this discussion the insane costs of trying to actually round up and deport 12 million people from the United States is trillions of dollars. Here's the thing. He's also trying to ask law enforcement to detain anyone identified by ICE as potentially here illegally. couple of things on that as a practical point. If your name is Juan Ramos, there might be a whole bunch of them. Absent biometric data, which not all local jails or police departments collect, how do you know it's the Juan Ramos who overstayed his visa or who came here illegally? You don't. So it's like, one, do we even have the right person? And here's the second thing. What does detainer mean? If ICE wants to come and pick up someone who's already locked up in any county's jail, they can do that. They just show up and be like, give me that person. Especially if the federal charge, if there's a federal criminal charge, not just the civil immigration violation. If the federal criminal charge, if they're a dangerous gang member, the MS-13, and there's a bunch of like really serious federal criminal charges, they'll just take the person and deport them. That's always been the case. But that's not what this directive that Trump gave to the DOJ to threaten local law enforcement actually does. It goes beyond that. It doesn't narrow its application to dangerous criminals that are wanted under federal warrants for murder or gang activity, drug trafficking, No, it's not limited to that at all. It applies to anyone that's here illegally. So what happens is, let's say someone is picked up, who's here illegally, is picked up by local law enforcement for unpaid. Okay? You got a bunch of those. You may get picked up. What happens then? Well, that's a state law or local ordinance violation that triggers a charge. You can be detained. You got a hearing before a judge. They say you got to pay your parking tickets or get on a plan. You're effectively arraigned. And now you should be released. And, you know, it may take, in some crowded jails, read Milwaukee County at times, it might take you a day to get in front of the judge. But now, just because your misdemeanor infraction is this volume of unpaid parking tickets, you should get released. And by the way, the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment of the United States promises you that you should be released from custody if there is no longer any valid state law-based reason for you to continue to be locked up. But what President Trump is trying to direct local law enforcement to do is keep that person in effect illegally in violation of their 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment rights in a local county jail, costing you, the taxpayer, more. And by the way, people that have had this done to them have sued counties and states for the violation of their 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment rights and have won millions of dollars. Guess who pays that? You do. Yeah. So let's zoom back out. Donald Trump has just threatened local law enforcement with up to lifetime in prison for failing. And this is not about violent criminals. If there's a violent criminal in lockup and they got federal warrants and charges, and local law enforcement will hand those people over. That's not what I'm talking about. But people who are otherwise supposed to be released from your local jails so that they don't cost you the thousands of dollars someone costs on an almost daily basis when you have them in a county jail, if you fail to release them and you keep them in violation of their 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment rights, Donald Trump is saying you have to do that. And if you, local law enforcement, don't do that, I'm going to criminally prosecute you. He is trying to compel local law enforcement to violate the Constitution. Do you recall Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing, Pam Bondi's confirmation hearing, where they were asked in many ways, shapes, and forms over and over again, if the president of the United States gives a directive that violates the U.S. Constitution, will you tell him so, and will you refuse to heed that directive? And none of them would answer the question. Here's an example of that. Now, before I go to the phones, because I want to hear from you, 855-75-CIVIC, that's 855-752-4842. I want to read to you the deep legal analysis that Donald Trump's genius squad of lackeys and loyalists at the Department of Justice used to explain their new mandate that local law enforcement violate the 10th, 4th, and 5th, and 6th Amendments. In other words, you know, ignore the Constitution or face potential federal prison time. Here's the deep legal analysis. We could count the words again. I'm going to read it. The Supremacy Clause and other authorities require state and local actors to comply with the executive branch's immigration enforcement initiatives. I kid you not. The Supremacy Clause, which basically means in a space of legislation, if federal law, and it's clearly a federal power, and state law conflicts, the federal law governs. But that doesn't overrule all of the civil rights protections and the 10th Amendment. Yeah, here it is. The Supremacy Clause and other authorities, I'll get to those in a second, require state and local actors to comply with the executive branch's immigration enforcement initiatives. No, it doesn't. Federal law prohibits state and local actors from resisting, obstructing, in other words, failing to comply with lawful immigration-related commands. Oh, check that word, lawful. They're not. And requests pursuant to, for example, the president's extensive Article 2 authority with respect to foreign affairs and national security, the Immigration and Nationality Act and the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 that was used to intern the Japanese during World War II. Yeah, all that's garbage. That's the extent of the legal analysis, like four lines. Just forget the Constitution. I'm going to take your comments and calls when we come back, and I'm going to give you a little chuckle before the end of the show. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with the Maggie Dawn Show in just a moment.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. If death comes for me tonight, girl. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. I'm your friendly lawyer, lady, economist, and commentator on basically anything that comes across my mind right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking about Donald Trump's threat of criminal prosecution and potentially life in prison if local law enforcement officials, like your friendly cop or sheriff's deputy that you know, that you see at the coffee shop or church, the post office, if they refuse to violate the Constitution. And I got one of my favorite conservative texters texted me, illegals don't have constitutional rights. Yeah, they do. The Constitution refers to persons, not citizens, when it establishes fundamental civil rights, like the right to due process, the right to free speech. And the Supreme Court has held that many of these provisions, including Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights, apply to all persons in the United States, regardless of their immigration status. So I beg of you, texter, quit listening to Fox News. Do a little Googling, little research. Takes like 2 seconds. This is all Donald Trump's letter to the Department of Justice to threaten local law enforcement officials with imprisonment if they refuse to violate the Constitution. As the federal government tries to co-opt local law enforcement into doing the federal government's job. Is the entire legal analysis wiping away the 10th Amendment, the 4th Amendment, the 5th Amendment, the 6th Amendment, is like 5 lines long. And by the way, I tangled with the Trump administration 1.0 when I was the general counsel, the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County. They tried to yank federal burn grant JAG funding, which helped fund our district attorney's office, Milwaukee Police Department, to the tune of nearly $7 million a year. They tried to tell me, oh, you're not going to get the money. Yeah. Guess who won that fight? This lady did. They turned over that money because this is all garbage. It's mumbo jumbo, made up nonsense, like the idea that a president can get rid of birthright citizenship with one stroke of a pen. The day Donald Trump took the oath to become president of the United States, he violated that oath the very same day. He knew he didn't believe any of that when he took the oath. Jeff from Whitewater.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will discuss the fallout from tribal and U.S. citizens getting caught up in the immigration sweeps. Also, which cabinet picks are in and out. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland. Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Senate confirms President Trump's pick of Pete Hegseth as defense secretary. CBS's Erica Brown reports on the dramatic late-night vote.
The vice president votes in the affirmative, and the nomination is confirmed.
The Senate voted Friday night to confirm former Fox News host and combat veteran Pete Hegseth to be the next Secretary of Defense. His nomination recently appeared to be on shaky ground after an allegation of sexual misconduct, along with concerns about his alleged alcohol use and treatment of his ex-wife. Hegseth has denied any wrongdoing.
President Trump is promising federal help as California recovers from devastating wildfires and announces a change in water management.
I'm signing an executive order to open up the pumps and valves in the north. We want to get that water pouring down here as quickly as possible and let hundreds of millions of gallons of water.